Before we dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to consider attending the Hope Restored Trauma Intensive, happening September 12th to 15th in Kissimmee, Florida. If you are looking for a safe space to share your hard story, where you will be seen and heard, if you need help working through your past or present day trauma, if you want to be in a community where women will hold space for your pain and point you to Jesus and his healing grace, this intensive might be for you. Anne Simmons, Brenda Stewart, and I have partnered to bring you a weekend of spiritual encouragement, deep work, biblical teaching, and clinical practices. We have limited the intensive to a small, intimate gathering, so sign up as soon as possible. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes. Now for today's episode. Well, hey, I am so happy to be back with you. After I took a month off in August and recorded some Psalms, and I hope you were able to enjoy the simplicity of just listening to God's word over those episodes. But I am super excited to be back. And I wanted to use this episode to kind of let you know what's coming up over the next few months. And also, I want to let you in on a little part of my planning process and share a story from scripture that is one of my go-to passages. Hi, friend. You're listening to Find Hope Here. I'm your host, Teresa Whiting, author, speaker, ministry leader, friend, and fellow struggler. This is a podcast about the messy, complicated, painful parts of life, but also the beautiful, joy-filled hope that Jesus promises. Each week, we dig deep into God's word together and talk about how his truth impacts our everyday lives. I'm not going to ask you to sit with me and have coffee because I seem to have my best conversations while I'm just doing life. So I'd love to hang out with you as you walk or fold laundry or drive to work. You're invited to join me in pursuing the hope God promises. No matter where you are or where you've been, I pray you always find hope here. Let's jump in to today's episode. One thing I have learned when it comes to planning is the importance of reflection. Not just moving from season to season, but before I jump into something that's coming up next, I've tried to start implementing the process of looking back before looking forward. And this is something I did on my own. But because we're friends, I wanted to bring you in on my process. I kind of feel like this podcast is not just me sitting behind a microphone, but it's us having a conversation. And because you're my friend, this is something that I want to talk to you about. Plus, it has been something that has been so helpful in my life that I thought it might be something you would consider. Maybe if you have a decision to make or if you're in a season of transition, this practice might be something that's really helpful. I created a downloadable worksheet with these questions on it, and it might be helpful for you if you're in a season of needing to make a decision or trying to figure out what's coming next. So I have this process that I go through, but before I start processing what comes next, I always ask this question of myself. Why? I call it my why before what. Like, why am I doing this? Why is this important to me? Why me? Why now? So I want to encourage you to think about what is something that takes precedence in your life, something that you spend a lot of time and effort or resources on. And have you ever asked yourself, like, why am I doing this? Or why is this even important? Or why am I pouring so much time or money or effort into this? And for me, it always comes back to a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25 about the kingdom of heaven. He was speaking about a king who entrusted his possessions to his servants. And this is what Jesus said. I'm starting in verse 14. For it will be like it, being the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now, just FYI, the word talent, it means money or possession. But the idea is that each person was given a gift by his master. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Okay, I don't want to be that guy. Did you hear what kept him from investing and using his talent? Fear. He said, I was afraid. It wasn't that he had a lack of resources or poor time management. It was fear. And I think fear can have so much power in our life if we let it. I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. That when I began writing and speaking publicly, I joined an online community, and immediately I started feeling inferior. And all of these fearful thoughts were coming into my head, like, oh my goodness, there's so much out there already. There are enough books and blogs and articles, and everything's already been written. And I just felt as though what I have to offer is not worthwhile. Like, just, Teresa, be quiet and go home. Really is what I felt like. And it was this parable, honestly, that kept me going. Because as I told myself those things, like, I have nothing original to say, it was like fear was picking up a shovel and just like dig a hole. I would think things like, well, the book that I've always wanted to write, somebody has already written it, and she's bigger and brighter and better than me. And I would dig that hole a little deeper. And I would think, well, you know what? I don't really have time for this anyway. And I would dig that hole a little deeper until I felt like, you know what? I'll just put my talent down. I will be quiet and I'll go home. But when I read this passage, I realized I had no excuse, because honestly, it's not my gift. It's not my talent. It belongs to the master. All I am is a steward. I don't know what God has entrusted you with, but he has given you something. And my question is, are you using it, or are you letting fear stop you? Is it your fear of what other people will think, or fear that you're not going to do a good enough job, or fear that you're going to fail? You guys, I have been there. I know what that feels like, but I want to encourage you not to let fear stop you from doing the thing that God has given, that He has entrusted to you. Because whatever that burning passion is that He has put in your heart, it's there for a reason. It's there because He wants you to use that and invest that in His kingdom. And so that's a really long answer to my why. Why do I do what I do? Why do I podcast? Why do I write? Why do I speak? It's because I've been entrusted a gift and it's not mine to bury. So moving on to the what. And in this part of the process, I ask a lot of questions like those reflection questions. What worked? What didn't work? What was life-giving? What was life-draining? What do I want to hold on to? What do I want to let go of? Before moving forward, I'm looking back. So I'm not going to answer all of my questions for you, but I'll give you a little bit of insight. The first question is, what worked? So for me, what worked as I began this podcasting journey and writing a Bible study, one of the things that worked was having a regular rhythm. I am a creature of habit. I like to know I'm doing this and then I'm doing that and then I'm doing that. And that really helped me to kind of map things out ahead of time. I mapped out all of season one before I even started. And so having that kind of rhythm, for me, that worked. Now, you might be a different kind of person who is like, you know what? I want to just do whatever I want to do. I don't have to have a specific plan. And if that works for you, that's awesome. Another thing that worked for me was a group of other women who are podcasters, who love Jesus, who love God's word. I call them my podcasting posse. Basically, we have a group where we are able to get online and we use Voxer and we send messages back and forth. And when we're stuck or when we need prayer or when we're discouraged, we are able to kind of really hold each other's arms. And so that, to me, and I don't care what you're doing, having other people around you that understand you and that encourage you is going to work probably in your life. Another thing that worked for me was just my friends and family were super supportive. So those are a few of the things that worked for me. What didn't work? Oh, okay. So distraction, that didn't work. The constant influx, emails, texts, getting online and just getting distracted with the internet. You know what I'm talking about. You just turn on your phone or your computer and all of a sudden like 30 minutes evaporate. So distraction, that's not working. I have to figure out a system of like designated times to check my email or my texts. Another thing that did not work for me was not having community around this work. When I, all through season one, was talking about sexual brokenness, that's something that we need to build community around. It's so important to me that I'm not just out here talking to you, but that I'm hearing from you. And so one of the things that I feel like didn't work really well was I didn't have a good system for communication and building a community around the things that we're studying in God's word. And one more thing that didn't work was I spent a ton of money and I didn't make a ton of money. So that didn't work. My next question that I ask myself is, what was life giving? Well, teaching God's word is always life giving to me. I love studying and teaching the Bible. Finishing and publishing Graced, that was huge. That's something I have dreamed of my whole life, writing a book. And I know that's a big thing, but having that done was really life giving to just be able to say like, okay, it's done. And speaking at live events. Oh, you guys, when I am face to face with women at retreats or in a class or even online doing like an online Bible study, I'm like, this is what I love. This is what I really feel like God has given me a passion for and a gift for. So speaking at events and seeing women face to face, that was absolutely life-giving to me. What was life draining? And I think it's important to look at this too, so that we can figure out, okay, these are things I need to make adjustments about. We can't always take the life draining things out of our life, but maybe we can make adjustments in how we go about things to minimize their impact. So some of the things that were life draining for me were overwhelm. I am a person who struggles with overwhelm on a regular basis. And so I think sometimes when I look at everything that I want to do, it just, I get paralyzed. I get stress paralyzed. So I'm going to have to find a way to maybe break things down into smaller steps, break things down and say, you know what, this is important now, and this has to wait for later. So those are some of the, that's one thing that was life draining. And then another thing for me personally was just, this was a really hard and heavy season personally and in my family. I struggled with grief in all different forms. I do really believe that I have been under spiritual attack, not just me, but my family members. My husband and I are still transitioning into this empty nest phase. There have been a lot of heavy things. And so just carrying grief and being willing to process it and being willing to feel it and allow myself to cry and to grieve. And I've filled up a lot of journal pages. And so, yes, those things are life draining, I might say, but they're also inevitable. I mean, hard things happen in life. That's just part of walking through life on this earth. What do I want to release and what do I want to embrace? So those are my two last questions. Before I start looking forward, what do I want to release? And this is just for me personally, but one of the things I want to release is outcomes. I actually don't even hold outcomes. They are out of my control. But maybe the wanting to control, the desire to control outcomes. And then the other thing I want to release is checking. Guys, I don't know what you check on a regular basis, but I'm constantly checking things, emails, texts, stats, numbers, all these different things that just really suck the life out of me. And then what do I want to embrace? Well, this one was easy and I have a bunch of things written down, but I am never going to let go of God's word, of teaching his word. That to me is something I will always hold firmly to. Another thing I want to hold on to is guest interviews. I loved having guest interviews, meeting new people and sharing them with all of you. Another thing I want to embrace is being financially responsible and making this endeavor self-sustaining and profitable. And also one of the really important things I want to embrace this coming season is somehow finding a way to create a community with all of you, with the listeners, so that it's not just me here, but that there is a way for us to connect, for you to connect with me, but then also for you to connect with one another. And I'm not sure what that looks like yet, but stay tuned. I will figure that out. Okay, so now we're finally getting to what's coming in season two. Well, there are certain things that will not change. As I just mentioned, I will continue to teach God's word. I will continue to share hope. I will continue to hopefully carry on, you know, those difficult conversations about sexual brokenness, about grace, about the things that God is doing in our lives. One of the things that I've learned as far as overwhelm is sometimes I find myself doing 100 different things. And I think what I'm going to try to do during this season is to share more about what is going on in real time. So for instance, I'm speaking at a retreat in September and we are going to be going through the book of Ruth together. So guess what? We are going to talk about that on the podcast. That's what I mean by kind of doing things in real time. If I'm speaking somewhere, if I'm creating talks for an event, I am going to share those. All of my teaching, whether I am at a retreat or speaking at a church, or if I'm just talking on this podcast, that stuff comes out of real life. It comes out of the things that God has done in my life and usually during really hard seasons. Now, I know I told you I was going to switch to bi-weekly, but you guys, I just really feel like at least until the end of this year, I am going to continue with weekly podcasts. So now you know a little bit about what's coming up in the next few months. I hope that you will be back and that you will listen. And I actually have a challenge this month. So I'm going to give one challenge per week. And at the end of the month, I'm going to pick a name and one person is going to win a copy of Graced. And so this is your challenge for today. If you enjoy this podcast, if you find value in it, would you be willing to text it to a friend and just tell them to follow this podcast? You're already following, right? If not, you can just press that little follow button up in the right-hand corner, or it might be a plus sign. It might say follow. It might be a heart, depending on what app you use. But anyway, my challenge for this week is for you to just share this podcast. And then when you share it, take a screenshot of your text and send that to me. Email it to me. And for every person that you share this podcast with, you will have an entry to win a copy of Graced. And aside from the opportunity to win a copy of Graced, you have my heartfelt thanks. I appreciate you. As you know, I am not on social media. I do not have a huge following. And so if you share this, that's the best way for the word to get out, for people that you know to say, hey, I think you might enjoy this podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me today on Find Hope Here. To find anything I mentioned on today's episode, including the downloadable reflection questions that I mentioned, just go to teresawhiting.com/listen, and that's where you will find the show notes. Remember to text this podcast to a friend. Have a beautiful and blessed week, and I want to leave you with this prayer from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.